words of life, that you would impart that life to us, and that you would impart all that it is set out to be to accomplish. Lord God, we're thankful for your precious vindicated word, for your precious vindicated prophecy for this last age. We're thankful for rapturing faith. We're thankful, Lord God, for all the seals that have been opened. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're giving us your Bible truth revelation. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless this teaching, Lord God, for your honor and for your glory, we say. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to take a text for the study here where it says, he will joy over thee. And then it says with singing. So let's go to Zephaniah 3:17. And here's the thought for the morning. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's a thought. God will serenade over you. God will sing. And the two words you want to keep in mind today is joy and singing, or rejoice. The word rejoice and joy, very, you know, similar words. And the thought here is, we sing unto the Lord, right? But what a thought to know is that he will joy over thee with singing. Amen. A God that receives worship, that there is worship in his presence. Sometimes we kind of see him as a machine or something that's just, you know, that basically doesn't enter in. And it's something to look at today when we'll find out about joy and how joy produces singing. Amen. So we find that in the book of Zephaniah, obviously it's a prophetic book. It's a text that was written during the reign of King Josiah. So his name means Yahweh, or the Lord Jehovah has hidden, or the Lord protects. And it is believed that he prophesied around the ages of 630 to 625 for about 5 years before Christ's time. And that is during, again, King Josiah, which his reign was between 640 and 609 BC, King Josiah's reign. And I like to read the same text again, but in this format, because I think it helps us see it a little bit better. So talking about God who's in the midst of us, that in the midst of thee is mighty. I love how, if you break it out, this is exactly what the verse says. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. What a thought, right? He rests so much in his love because he knows what it is. There's a trust, that there's a power in there. So he will joy over thee with singing. Let that sink in. God's going to joy over thee. And he might have a little jig, a little song. Amen. In some places it says with dancing or with shouting, and shouting out loud with a loud shout. So he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And then, so I have a thought here. When God comes by, he does so in his presence, right? He's in the midst of thee. You know how we know that scripture that says he abides in the praises of his people, right? So divinely inspired singing is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God singing in you, right? The believer. Yes, the believer is praising God, but also God serenading over the believer. I don't know if you've ever been down the road and all of a sudden you just, I got my mind made up. You just get a little song and all that. Just don't underestimate that, you know? That's God's presence coming by. Before you know it, he might talk to you. You might pray. You might be healed. You might, you know, claim your children. It's just, God is a God of joy. I just wanted to take that thought. And joy will produce singing, right? Singing also comes in a way of, you know, when you have a mourning, when you're mourning or when you're sad, you know, there's also that. But joy will produce singing. Amen. So have here salvation, as we know, sanctification. We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and glorification. Of course, it will result in singing. That is God's rejoicing over you. When he's doing this works of you and resting in his love and rejoicing over thee with singing. So just take back on the same chapter 3 and 19 through 20, just a little bit of content there, and then we'll go into some other aspects of this thought. 19 says, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And you see, we sing, the angels sing. We find that in the scriptures. God sings. God loves singing, right? Whether it's him, the angels, or the believer. So in Luke 15:7, we have a very familiar scripture where it says, I say unto you that likewise, in the same manner, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. So in most of the translations, that word joy says that there's going to be a party in heaven, or that there's going to be singing, or there's going to be shouting, that there's going to be there's going to be rejoicing, you know, over the one sinner. And that's going to be the theme of the topic is, in the natural, we find that a father joys over his sons walking in righteousness, but when they're saved. But we're also going to find out how we are begotten, right? We're also a children of God, so we'll become, when we're new, when we become born again, of course there's going to be a rejoicing of his heart. So we find here that there was a song of Moses, and I like here in Revelation 15, 2 through 4, where it says in verse 3, and the song of the Lamb. So they sang the song of Moses. This is what we find here. And it says, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of all saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. I just like to take away here how the song of Moses was still sang again, and then the song of the Lamb. So God experiences joy himself. Just think of that for a moment. Because sometimes we forget that, you know, he does experience joy. So here's this in Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So, and in Romans 15, 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Galatians 5, 22-23 says, it's a fruit, right? So the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So it's amazing to know that it's a fruit. It's a fruit of the Holy Ghost, right? You can only have it once you have the Holy Ghost experience. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So there's really no law against joy. So if you're out there having a little bit of joy, there's no law against that. Think about it. So there's no law against joy. It means that you're free to have joy. It means you're free to walk in joy. It means that you're at Walmart or something, and a thought comes, or the word comes by, or an inspiration comes by. There's no law that says you cannot be joyful. Think about that. Joy is not given by the world, right? Nor can it be taken away by the world, like that little song goes, right? And this is Jesus speaking. In John 15, 11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So it's God's joy. You know, and sometimes we look at it, you know, of course God gives us joy, but sometimes we see it as something that he gives us, and then, you know, goodbye, see you later. But see, he himself is joy. It's an attribute of God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? And joy produces singing. So Psalm 16, 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the famous verse that we use is usually a small portion of the big verse that we use is, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's my strength. It's our strength. Amen? And the content there is longer, but usually we just say that portion, right? But it is indeed that it is the joy of the Lord. You know, sometimes we just see that again, it's something he gave to you, but it's actually himself. He's a joyful God. So then that produces the believer singing for joy. It'll be a short Sunday school study this morning. So in Psalms 13, 5 through 6, it says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Amen. That's the reason why we sing. And especially singing that comes out of joy in the Holy Ghost is of course, is a victory that has, that it's an overcoming, right? It's a manifestation of an overcoming. Psalm 98, 4, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Amen. And it's something you cannot manufacture. You know, it has to really be the Lord doing it and giving the inspiration. Psalm 95 says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." And here's an example of a psalm. So I'll just pause here and take a break here. Psalm 100, if you don't mind flipping to it, I'm going to teach you a little song. All right? I don't have a tambourine here. I don't know how to play instruments, but you can make a joyful noise. Really? Yeah. I don't have a good beat, though. Yeah, I'm not a musician, but I sure can make a joyful noise, and I sure can have the joy to praise him, right? All right, Psalm 100. Just listen to this song. I learned this from some of the brothers from Arizona, the church, Love Divine, and I think it came from the brothers from California, the original church that worked, that got started there. So this is straight up word. In Psalm 100, I'll start as slow as this. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah." And then it sings again, and it goes on again. I missed that second verse, but I love those songs, right? Because it's the joy of the Lord. It's, you're singing about his word. You're praising him. This is another that says, "This is the day. This is the day which the Lord hath made, which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And then it goes to a higher tone. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I just think that God's word is perfect. I love that he rejoices over thee with singing. Amen. And he gives us that inspiration. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." It's not just meaningless praise, right? "As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with jewels." Bridegroom, you know, it's decking himself with ornaments, and the bride adorneth herself with jewels. So sisters, you might know, that's kind of a type for you. You might know how much joy you get when you're getting dressed with jewels. It says Psalm 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Amen. And in Psalm 119, 111, the word, right? So thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage. Imagine that, an inheritance, right? Forever. For they, the words, thy testimonies, thy precepts, are the rejoicing of my heart. Isn't that beautiful? It's to have the gift to be able to have that joy that comes from just the trust and knowing that God's testimonies are sure and his word is settled forever. It's a heritage. Psalm 19, 8-10, it goes, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then it goes, more to be desired are they than gold, yeah, much, much gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. In 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Amen. I encourage the people that are inspired to sing, the people that know how to sing, to find the tunes to these songs that some psalmists have already. Because maybe you can't go wrong by singing God's word, singing his psalms, and getting under that inspiration and just in that anointing and getting into the same inspiration that the psalmist had. They're poemic, you know, there's rhythm to it. And they're, even as we read them, we rejoice even without the singing, just because it's God's poem to us. It's God serenading to you. You know, I just have a quick testimony here. In Mother's Day in Mexico, my mom, my father was out working in another country. And so here it is, Mother's Day. And 4 or 5 in the morning, before the break of light, comes a guitar to the window. And here I am. I was sleeping with her. I was probably like 4 or 5. I can barely remember this. And I just start hearing some strings. I don't know if you ever woken up to a serenade. Not me personally, from my wife playing the cello or something, but that'd be nice. But it was special. It stuck to me because it was like a morning serenade. You know, you musicians, like, I can put a song in your heart. That's special. That's God's coming by in his word and his singing, rejoicing over thee with singing. Take that and run with it. You know, write it down and write psalms and sing specials. I just think it's beautiful. And it had such an impact on me because that song was singing to the mother, right? It was singing and that song in Spanish, it says, I'm singing you the morning songs that David would sing. So it's amazing, right? Even the musicians, right, in their inspiration, just saying that I'm just singing you that those psalms, just as the musicians will sing and giving thanks to, you know, for the attribute of being a mother. Boy, she was wetting her pillow with she was crying, you know? It had an effect on her. Because here he is, her husband's abroad, Mother's Day. It's a big deal in Mexico, Mother's Day, you know? So to me, it just that's a good image right there of what a morning serenade is. And then Proverbs 23:24, just the last thought, is how God rejoices when one soul is saved. And it typifies here also a father relationship as a son. We joy when our children are walking in truth. But also think about it when God rejoices. And the whole point is that God has joy. It says, Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. It's in the natural, but also think about it in the spiritual, right? When you become born again, you've been given the wisdom of God, and you've been given righteousness, and you're given God's wisdom. So therefore, God rejoices. God is happy over that. In 3 John 4, we know where it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And may the Lord grant that to each and every one of us, parents. May the Lord grant Maybe we all just see it from these children going upward, though, that our parents are natural joy and God, who is our spiritual father, rejoices. And wrapping it up here, Proverbs 23, 15 through 16. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart, this is him speaking, shall rejoice. Or a father in the proverb, right? Even mine. Yep, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let's take it for granted, you know, that God joys over these. So just in summary, God in the midst of thee is mighty. God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. That sounds like a happy time to me. He will rest in his love. Sureness. Assurance. He will joy over thee with singing. There's a Zephaniah in New American Translation, which it's a pretty solid translation. It's not some more of the newer ones. And it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Amen. And in Psalm 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. God loves worship. God loves singing. Last quote here in the message, Broken Cisterns, back in 64. When David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, praise him upon harps, praise him upon the psaltery. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, and praise ye the Lord. God rejoices. So God has joy. God rejoices in his people. That's the theme. Let them all, it says, let them of the learned say amen when anything said right. It said that's right. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good worship time and a good preaching today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.